Welcome to The Growth Machine, your backstage pass to the minds behind today's most successful digital marketing agencies. Each episode, we unpack real-world playbooks for scaling revenue, delighting clients, and building cultures that last. The Growth Machine is powered by Dream Giant, the partner that sparks qualified interest, turns leads into signed contracts, and nurtures a loyal tribe of eager buyers. Ready to think bigger? Hit play and let's dream giant. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Growth Machine. I am your host, Shane Miller, and today I have Austin Erebor with me, the CEO and founder of NetFly. How you doing, Austin?
I'm great, Shane. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, of course. We're recording on a Monday here, so hopefully both Austin and I are very relaxed, rested, and ready to take down the week.
So, somewhat. Let's do it. Yeah.
Seriously, exactly. It's like, are you ever really ready after the weekend? But you know what, Austin, I think if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about NetFly, you'll do a much better job than I ever would. So hit us.
Yeah, sure. So NetFly is a marketing agency that is also now a MarTech company based in Southern California. We started about 8 years ago, and we've gone from working with startups to working with lawyers to now only working with personal injury law firms, really the elite of the elite. And we've taken that really, really far, and we've scaled through that and taken it to the top.
Gotcha. I mean, how did you like narrow it down like that?
Well, originally I wanted to work with startups because I thought it was exciting. I came from a really brief stint in politics where it was very exciting, action packed, go, go, go. But, you'd be surprised to learn that working in politics is not very fun. So I came back to LA and I wanted to do something else. And obviously being here in SoCal, there's a huge community of startups. That was pretty awesome. But startups run out of money and it's nobody's fault. It just happens. So I wanted to focus on an industry that's been around for 100 years that had problems that maybe I could solve. And it was between doctors and lawyers. And I chose the latter.
Got it. All right. And what made you go to lawyers versus doctors?
You can at least get the lawyers on the phone. Doctors are all over the place. They need a lot of help, but it's probably for that reason. So
got it. Makes a lot of sense. And then how did you narrow things down to personal injury?
Oh, personal injury has a good combination of well-funded clients, but they also have some fundamental issues that good marketing can really solve. There's a play there for marketing. There's also a play there for operations. It's a high dollar amount in terms of, you know, the transactions that happen there, but it's so inefficient still in this day and age that there's a lot that you can do to help them.
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. And my understanding from when we spoke last time is that you have a really unique approach for getting the PI lawyers some clients. You mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I asked myself one day, like, what could we innovate? What could we create that doesn't exist already? What would really help us create separation from everybody else? And what would help our clients do that? And I just tapped into my little wish list in my head. And I said, well, if we could somehow figure out when a car accident happened, and if we could like resolve who that happened to really quickly, faster than anybody else, before that person even got on the internet and started searching, if we could target them right away. And I don't want to use the word creepy, but in a sense that felt kind of clairvoyant. Could we do that? If we achieve that, could that create great results? And that launched the NetFly Advantage Suite, which is now a piece of MarTech for select other agencies that have clients that we're not serving. But we use that for our clients and their results are fantastic, like phenomenal in terms of like what they're able to do.
So what kind of results are they seeing using this product?
So without naming names, because I do have some NDAs in place, but we have clients here in the Southwest, so like California and Arizona and stuff like that, where they're seeing their cost per case is sometimes in the hundreds, high hundreds. Typically it's under 1200, and they're signing hundreds per month, at that rate, excuse me. And then in terms of like the actual quality of the cases, we have a whole list of descriptions. Anonymized descriptions where people can like literally read the descriptions that come in on the forms. And these are like very catastrophic. We're talking wrong way accidents, hit by cars, you know, people's bodies being hit by cars, skateboards being hit by cars, things of that nature. So better cases for more efficiency is what you typically see. And we're like the go-to. It's almost like, if you know, you know. We're like the country club of personal injury.
Yeah. Wow. That makes a lot of sense. You know, you say like, you don't want to sound creepy, but honestly, I feel like the best marketing is kind of creepy, you know? It's like that whole joke where it's like, I was just talking about it and now it's showing up in all of my ads. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I think when you are there the second that somebody needs you, like, you can look at that as creepy or extremely efficient. So
I'm going to go with extremely efficient. I'm going to say that moving forward. Yeah,
exactly. Cool, man. Well, you know, let's, you know, this is a growth conversation after all. How are you getting this out there? Like, what's the current growth strategy?
So right now we use a lot of cold email. Mm-hmm. We're very factual with it. We don't do a lot of, you know, memes and jokes and things of that nature. It's, this is what we do. This is who we do it for. If you want to get involved in that, if you're of that ilk, then reach out. We tie some automations to that. So we're looking at not just open rates, but multi-open rates. We want to see how many times the same target has opened, or the same time. We want to note how many times a target has triggered an open email response from our system. What that means is that they've either marked it as unread, they've come back to it, or they've sent it to someone else to also look at. And when we get those signals, we then do some proactive calling. So very much in line with an Aaron Ross, like, predictable revenue kind of model. That's how we get the word out. And we do plan on putting together a campaign to fill out the rest of the roster in the states that we want to be in.
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. And how is the cold email stuff going for you guys?
It goes really well. I mean, we have a pretty robust system. It ties into Slack, so we know who's who. We pre-target, right? So we know who we want to go after, and we get Slack messages in terms of who on that list is starting to perk up to the message. Typically around the end of a quarter, end of a year is when you see the most activity because changes are being made.
That makes a lot of sense. And how are you guys like measuring your success, right? So how many people are you reaching out to? What kind of meetings are you getting?
We reach out to no more than like a couple hundred names at a time. We do it regionally, so we rotate that for practical reasons. You don't want to always, you know, carpet bomb the same people. You don't want to wind up in spam boxes, things of that nature. So we rotate around the country, and if we can have, you know, 8 to 10 high level conversations a month, that's good enough for us, because we know that the match rate is still really important if you want to build a company and a brand that's known for quality and for making the right connections with the right people and servicing the right clients. So there are a lot of no's coming from us where we say, hey, you're not ready for this yet. And sometimes that lengthens the sales cycle, but it leads to a happy client in the long run. And also we set it up in terms of it being like a bit of a gauntlet. So yes, you're interested. You've seen the emails, you've seen the results, you want them too. Now you have to have a pre-qualification call with an SDR before you can see the wizard. And so we don't want you to just think that we're fishing for business and that we would really love to work with you, even though we don't know you. So we want to qualify you, make sure that you're a good fit. And if you're not, we'll just give you feedback and say, well, this is what's holding you back from even being considered to purchase a Ferrari, if you will.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, it's almost like you guys are positioning yourselves as the prize, right?
Well, I guess you have to believe that you are, right? And so the proof is in the pudding. So if you are getting great results, it's not that you're withholding great results from others. It's that you've noted who represents the right fit and you only want the right fits coming through the door. I think that's what makes a brand more aspirational anyway, is when parts of the market know that they're almost there to get to you and other parts know, hey, I'm nowhere near it. I don't have the size yet. I don't have the budget yet. But when I do, I know that there's a unicorn out there that I can go after.
Yeah, makes sense. So your cold email strategy, it's very low volume then. So you find a region and then you go after them with very precise. I mean, is it really like, how are you guys structuring your copy? Is every email personally written, or do you have like a general sequence that goes out?
It's pretty general in terms of its structure. There's just some basic personalization that goes on, like a first name at the top and things of that nature. I'll be honest with you, I'm not the person that runs it anymore. That's somebody else's job. However, I do know that that's what's personalized. We keep it very succinct, very tight, and we build it for cell phones. So we want for you to be super attracted to the headline, which is usually some teaser in terms of like a result that we've already achieved somewhere else. And then we emphasize bullets. So we really love to use bullets, really short descriptor, and then bullets, because we know that the human eye is just going to go right for the bullets. And if it's four hits of dopamine, we can expect them to want to come back to that, because we've done our job. If we can trigger some dopamine on the subject line, trigger a couple more drops on the bullet points, and they're like, okay, whatever that is, I'm interested, I'll come back to it.
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. And do you have any idea? So if you reach out to 100 lawyers in a region, right? Like, how many of them do you end up speaking with?
We'll probably speak to 12 or 14, something like that, a really low amount. But what's important to us is that we, out of that contact rate, if we can get half of them interested in working with us, then we've done our job. With half of them interested in working with us, we might work with like three of them, which is good enough for us, because our clients are all, they're selected because they're scalable, and then we put them on a path to scale. So it's enough for us. We like to stay low volume with a small roster, but, you know, take that roster to the moon, as opposed to working with like 200 different clients and they're all doing like a $500 SEO package or something.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. That's very cool, man. I think it's an interesting way to go about it. It's like very low volume, but personalized, but you're mixing like personalized and general outreach approach. So yeah, it's very interesting. Any idea how many personal, you know, PI attorneys there are out there?
How many personal injury attorneys there are out there?
Yeah.
There are over a million. So there's something like 1.6 million personal injury attorneys. Now, the ones that are actually owning their own practice is probably, I'm going to say maybe 5% of that. But then the ones that are running a practice that you or I would want to service is probably another 25% of that. So most personal injury firms are heavily reliant on referrals. And then if they do get involved with a marketing agency, they don't have the business or the structure to really take on new leads from an outside source that wasn't A, told specifically go work for these guys, or B, came from like a Google search or an LSA where they're like choosing them specifically. So if there's any salesmanship involved, typically your typical PI firm is going to stay small, because there are no salespeople on the floor, just intake people, which are different. Yep.
Makes sense. And what would you say currently is your biggest bottleneck right now to growth? So like what is the one thing, like I call it the magic wand moment. So if something you could fix with a magic wand right now, what would it be?
Yeah. So the biggest bottleneck to growth has got to be the sales aspect of it, right? I think that's the case for every marketing agency. If salespeople were as robust and ubiquitous as good marketers, then it would be an easier world to live in, probably more commodified than it is. But that's something that we've moved to resolve over the past couple quarters. So we have great partners that we just basically set the client up with to turn it into a more of a turnkey deliverable, where the points of failure are more under our influence than the client's. So that way we're not playing telephone with their intake people. We're going directly to our partner and we're saying, hey, you know, this client needs to hit this number. What do we need to do to get there? Almost like we're having level 10s with the partner instead of trying to have like these ad hoc conversations with the client, which typically doesn't go very far.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. So it's basically overall conversions are where you're seeing the most issues.
Yeah, conversions on market qualified leads. It's always, I think it's one of the biggest issues just in like digital marketing in general, because you can only influence what you can influence. And at the end of the day, if you're an outside agency generating the lead flow, it's going to be your fault, even if it's not your fault. So you got to watch out for that.
Absolutely. Okay, awesome. Well, I ask this at the end of every podcast, so I'm do the same thing with you here. So somebody starting their first agency or starting a new agency, what would be your number one piece of advice for them?
Niche down, then niche down again, then niche down again. go three deep on your niche, figure out exactly who you want to service. There's plenty of money out there, but there's even more potential in there. So get drilled down on who you can really service the most and what makes it not feel like work. And it makes it feel like you're a real innovator and problem solver, because that's when people will fall in love with you. And that's when you're like the Rolls Royce of that particular thing.
All right. Very succinct. I love it.
Yes.
All righty. Well, thanks so much, Austin. You've been a great guest. You know, really appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. See you.